You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
I'm Pete Schwabba, barreling through a Monday night here. Terry from Cross Plains in the 608 says, George Carlin has to be among the top five comedians ever. Great text, Terry. I wouldn't disagree with you. And let's just see who Mike has on his list and I have on my list. Con, did you put a little list together? You're just going to go with your overall number one?
Yeah, no, I got okay. Some.
Mike, I have to tell you, before we start this, this cracked me up. Conrad came into the studio before and he said, is Mike Toomey the guy that said I was trying to kill him? And I said, what? No, he confused you with Bill Leff. It's Conrad's first night producing the show. Bill said, Pete, I don't want to tell you this, but when I first came on, Conrad off the air said, I'm going to come to your house after this and kill you. I mean, obviously he knew you were kidding, but it was
that just sounds like Bill.
Yeah, sounds like Bill. Exactly. All right. So, you've got a ton of experience in stand-up comedy. I had some. We worked together quite a bit on the road. Great times. It's so funny, Mike. Like, you've been doing this so long. I meet other guys in stand-up, and they're like, oh, yeah, after you left for L.A., Mike was the guy. Mike brought me on the road with him, and then, like...
yeah,
like,
you were the guy.
All these people you right. mentored, you know, it was so much fun. So, it's great. So, all right, let's do this. Let's start backwards from five.
Okay.
And let's have you go first.
And I don't even know if this means he's my fifth favorite, but let's start with this guy. His name is Mike McDonald, and he was out of Canada. And he's passed away, but he was the guy that gave me my first real lesson in you're not as good as you think you are. I have been doing comedy about, I don't know, 5 years.
Okay.
Okay. 5 or 6, whatever. And I went to work the Funny Firm, which was a brand new club. And they said, you're working with Mike McDonald. And I'm like, okay, great. You know, he's from Canada, whatever. And I was, you know, establishing myself and comedy was hot and I was doing well. And then he went up and I went, okay, I'm not that good.
Wow. Yeah.
He was so far to go.
He was a great stand-up. I never met him when I did stand-up, but our mutual friend, Len Ostrovich, brought him to a screening of The Godfather of Green Bay in Burbank. And Len's son at the time, Miles, who has passed away, was a big fan of the film. And Mike McDonald came up to me and goes, hey, great film. And I'm like, I almost passed out. I'm like, oh, my, you're Mike McDonald. Like, I couldn't even know he was there. But a very funny comic, and used to do the bank, like when he'd walk all the ropes of the bank, like imitate...
And make the exasperated face like, but what he did that was so fantastic to me is he could make one bit go forever.
Yeah.
And at the time, Fatal Attraction was just out of movie theaters. He talked about Fatal Attraction for almost as long as the movie itself. Okay. And it was funny. Like nobody was going, when is this guy going to stop talking about Fatal Attraction? We're like, it was hilarious, you know? Like at the end when Glenn Close jumps out of the, what is she, Jason now? Like she wouldn't die. And I asked him about that and he said, your bits are never finished. He says, it's like watering your plants. You just keep them growing. If there's more you can say about it, say more about it.
That's a great, wow, that's fantastic. I went to Richard Jenny. He had a memorial service at the Laugh Factory and our mutual friend, Greg Leanna, and I went to that. And Rich Scheidner summed up Jenny kind of similar to what you're saying about Mike McDonald. He said, when Rich was done with a premise, there was nothing left but bone. It's like he was just eating this joke and creating. It was just such a great analogy. And I totally agree. Mike McDonald is like that too. All right. And
you could easily make room for Jenny on that list too.
He's, you know, I've got five and then I've got an honorable mention. So I'm going to start with my five. And I thought we should do this like not with our peers from Chicago because...
No, that's what I had in mind when you brought it up.
All right, perfect. Because I know I'd be on your list, Mike.
Of course you would. Of course. I'm getting to you.
No. Number five for me, I have a tie. That's kind of a cheat. And you might laugh at this. Jay Leno and Ellen DeGeneres.
Okay.
Two people who to me...
Don't disagree with either of them.
Okay, good. Because I think people only know her as the crazy talk show host. She was an outstanding stand-up comic, as was Jay Leno. I didn't love him as a host or her, but they were both really excellent comedians.
Well, Ellen was clearly, clearly influenced by Bob Newhart. You know, her tempo and her laid back kind of style. She even did a couple phone call bits that Newhart,
right,
you know, immortalized. But yeah, very, very clearly influenced by him. And of course, he's one of the best ever.
Absolutely.
And Leno could, as another guy who could be on stage for an hour and a half and you'd never look at your watch. You'd just be like, wow,
right,
that went fast. Yeah, just full of great material.
Now, when he used to go on Letterman, it was like must-see TV. You had to see him, and he was so great. Con, do you have five, or do you want to just join us when you have, like, you said you had one comic was your favorite, and that's fine.
Well, no, I put him at five because he's not known, really.
Okay.
He's, like, my favorite that is kind of underground. I don't know. He's not well-known, but he is known.
Okay.
From YouTube.
That works.
But he has a stand-up. And I've gone to his shows three times, and every time it's fresh. He never uses the same joke ever.
And he's filthy.
It is pretty filthy.
What's his name?
Noel Miller.
You know him, Mike?
I do not.
Noel Miller.
Where did you see him perform?
Improv in Milwaukee. I saw him.
Okay.
This place in Madison. I can't remember what it's called. It's a kind of a theater type place.
Yeah.
Can't remember what it was called.
Every time you say
it's really, it's funny because as long as we've been in this business, there's guys that keep coming and you don't know their names. My kids go to see comedy shows at like Chicago Theater and big venues like that. I don't know who those guys are. Right. You know, I'm so far removed from it.
All right. I'll go next. Number four for me. This one might surprise you. An underdog, but a guy I watched a lot as a kid, like on shows like Evening at the Improv, Franklin Ajai.
Oh my gosh. I forgot all about him.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. Just a thinking man's gray matter comedian and so funny.
He used to do a joke about why do white guys box? And your initial reaction is like, well, they're not good boxers. But no, his punchline was like he'd start bobbing and weaving and throwing punches. And he's like, dang, man, I got to get out these suburbs. But he always had such great jokes and he was so laid back. Loved him.
He really did. He knew one that was hilarious, that like he lived by himself. He was a guy who lived by himself. So he did a lot of jokes. Typical. He doesn't really take care of the place. And he had a date come over and she ran her finger across like one of the coffee tables or whatever. And goes, look at this. Like she's got dust. And then he looks down and he goes, now how am I going to fill that in?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, he was great.
All right. You're number four, Mike.
What's the deal with Jerry Seinfeld?
Oh, yeah. Nice.
You can't go wrong there.
You can't go wrong. And I'm like, he's not in my top five. I don't know how, because he was probably my favorite comedian in the 80s. But
yeah,
I don't know. I guess I'm going overall here. Con, you got a number four?
Yeah, I'd say Kevin James.
Kevin James? Okay.
Yeah.
You ever work with him, Mike?
I have not. Yeah. I heard his stand-up's really good, though. I know.
Yeah. Very likable.
He's
still out there.
Yeah. He has a new special on Prime that was hilarious.
Okay. All right, Kevin James, number four for Conrad. My guest is Mike Toomey. His show is called Laugh Tracks, folks. Check it out on WGN+. Give it a Google and check. There's so many great episodes. Jeff Garlin, Frank Caliendo. I was on the episode last week that will be coming out soon, Mike? Next day or two?
It ran last Saturday.
Oh, okay. Can I share now?
You can share now, okay. Yes. You can look forward to reruns as well.
All right, fantastic. Number three... Con, you want to go first? Go ahead.
Sure, yeah. My third one, I think, just from me growing up, and I watched this guy all the time growing up, was Jeff Dunham.
Jeff Dunham, okay. And Peanut?
Yeah.
Or not Peanut?
The jalapeno on a stick is my favorite.
What about the old guy? With the
Walter. It's Walter.
Walter, yeah.
Awesome. All right, Mike, you're up.
Number three is along the same lines as your Franklin Ajai choice. This is a guy, when I was a kid, like... grade school, wanted to be a comedian. And whenever I saw that this guy was going to be on something, whether it was like Don Kirshner's rock concert
or the
Midnight Special or the Tonight Show, whatever, it was David Brenner.
David Brenner is great.
Yeah, he did the best observational stuff, and then he transitioned into current events and even politics and things like that. But he was, even at an advanced age, he never said how old he was, but right. It was determined later that he was much older than people believed. Always very relevant, very current, and the observational stuff too.
He did a great joke about getting on a bus and, I don't know, the jokes they used to play. I think he grew up in Philadelphia, and he said one of my friends is, head was constantly tilted to the right, and his nickname was 10 after 6. Like he just had so many jokes like that. And I got to meet him before I was even ready to work the road. I started during the boom. I got work before I was ready, but I went down to West Palm Beach, Florida, and I opened for him. And I went back to the condo between shows, and I came back, and Mr. Brenner would like to see you in his dressing room. I'm like, oh no, what did I do? You know, he just wanted to talk. He asked me what I wanted to do. He was just eating dinner, and he was like the nicest guy.
That's so great.
I loved it, and I treasure that experience. That's a great one, one I totally forgot about.
How long before he passed was that?
Oh, that was 92 maybe. So
okay.
When did he die? Like 2010?
Yeah, I think so. But what had happened with him was as time went on, his openers were doing less and less time in front of him. Because he didn't want to burn any topics. And it seriously got to the point where I had worked with him. They said, just go up and say, ladies and gentlemen, David Brenner.
Here's your $1,000.
Can I still put this on my resume that I opened for him?
So, that's really interesting. Yeah, I only did like 15 or 20 minutes, but he probably knew I was just starting out too.
But he'd do the whole 90 minutes himself.
Yeah, that's a great one. Con, you got did you go number three?
Yeah.
Oh, you did. Okay. My number three, Don Rickles.
Yeah.
So I don't think I have to say anything more. Don Rickles.
Vintage.
Number two, I will go. George Carlin, not a huge surprise there.
He's my number one.
Okay.
I don't want to cheat, but I'll give you. Number two for me in this, I don't know if this even qualifies as a stand-up necessarily, but when I was a kid, my parents had this comedy record of a guy named Stan Freberg. And what he did funny songs, he did funny sketches, and did a lot of character voices. And I fell in love with that. And I swear to this day, it's because of that record that I got into comedy. Even as a five-year-old kid, I would memorize the sketches on there. And perform them for people as a little kid.
You know, that's so great. And my guy like that at a young age was Bill Cosby. He would have been in my top three, but you can't say that anymore. Like he's such a creep. I mean, a felon, not even a creep. He's like,
wait, what's this now?
Con, you got a number two?
Yeah. I'm going to go with Chris Rock.
Chris Rock. Great choice.
Good choice.
Love him. I told, I did Mike Lucas's podcast last week too. And I told the story of when I opened for Chris Rock, and that's as profane as I've ever been telling the story of when I opened for Chris Rock, because it was because of the heckle I received from a 14-year-old kid. And it was brutal. I can't even say it. We're on the radio. Like I can't, but I could say it on Mike's podcast. 14-year-old kid with his parents. I'm like, I would have thought I was going to hell for what this kid said to me. But it was a learning experience. Okay, Mike Toomey is here, folks. You have a couple minutes to get in on our Diane Keaton question of the night. What's your favorite Diane Keaton movie? We're coming right back to wrap things up and give you our number one favorite stand-up comics of all time. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I really want to know you. I really want to go with you.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
The memories you gave me.
Take one fresh and tender kiss.
The memories you gave me.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. In the home stretch here, folks, Terry from Cross Plains in the 608 says, oh my God, actually it's OMG. I started to text David Brenner, but changed to Carlin. I saw him at Summerfest and he was hysterical. Mike, he was hysterical. George Carlin in an outdoor venue.
You got him on a night when he was hysterical. he was hilarious.
Outstanding. Love George Carlin. All right, we are down to our final favorite comedians. Con, let's have you go first. Favorite all-time stand-up comic?
Gabriel Iglesias.
Oh,
Fluffy. God,
I just got a pain in my stomach.
You don't like him?
Same pain. Same pain.
Okay, so, all right, here's why I don't like him. I had to follow him. I had just moved to LA. It was like, the year was like 1998, year of our Lord. And Mary came with me. It was a show on a yacht. And I was closing. My buddy at Comedy Central booked it. And Gabriel Iglesias was opening. Nobody knew who he was yet. He's this high energy. He came out and people couldn't even catch their breath for 20 minutes. I'm just like going, do I just jump in the ocean now and end it? Or do I actually go up? And man, I chewed it. It was horrible. It was a bad set. It was like, I got like Snickers and a couple... But he crushed.
Yeah, you have personal reasons, so it's not that horrible. But you're saying it. You're not saying you think he's terrible. You're saying
I don't even no, but I don't know. I'm not saying he's terrible. He's probably hysterically funny, but I don't. When he comes on, it's such a bad memory. I just scroll past. Yeah, <there is. laughs> All right, yeah, Mike, number one.
I believe I knew that story. The aforementioned Carlin, because yeah. Again. The record, the class clown record my brother had that I used to have to put the headphones on and hide in my room to make sure nobody heard me listening to it because it contained the seven words you can't use on television. But what I fell in love with about him was his mastery of the language, like every word counted. You know what I mean?
Right.
And through the years, he just kept going. Like we said about Brenner before, Carlin changed with the times, you know, he was an observational guy and then he became a political, you know, social commentator more than anything else and did it so well, pushing 80, you know?
Yeah, you're right. And I always say like, I think it's hard for stand-ups to be funny after like 50 or 60, but some of them are and they remain relevant somehow. And he was totally that guy. And even though I wouldn't say he was as funny as when he was in his 30s and 40s at his peak, but he was still one of the best comics, if not the best, even when he was older. So.
This is the best. This is my favorite Carlin story. This was like 1997 spring Aspen Comedy Festival. You know, he's there because they're honoring him 40 years of comedy and 60 years old. And this was 97. And there was a guy there who was a comedian. He didn't get selected for the festival, but he was there and he bought one of those all access passes so he could go to all the shows and meet. And he did, when I tell you what he did, it will just make you cringe. We're sitting there eating lunch with this guy and he goes, "Hey, I saw Carlin on the street." And we're like, "Oh no." And he goes, "So I went up to him." "Oh, stop." He goes, "Hey George, I'm working on a bit."
Oh no.
Like, walking on the street, he was going to run one of his bits by him. And the way he described it is the only way you know Carlin wasn't rude to him, but he wasn't going to indulge him either. So George didn't break stride. He just kept walking. "That's it. You always got to be working on your material, working on your bits, writing material. That's a good thing to do. That's the way to go. Nice to meet you." Kept walking. Isn't that fantastic?
Kind of a classy response in a weird way. Like, yeah.
Oh, you got to be working on your bits, creating all that stuff.
That is excellent. I love the joke he used to do about, you know, the kids are so stupid nowadays, you know, and here, how do you know if you have a stupid kid? Here's what you do. You take your kid, you put him on a busy street corner. You go back 2 weeks later. If he's still there, you got yourself a stupid effing kid. All right. My number one is more of a contemporary guy, Brian Regan.
Oh, I should have put Brian on my list. He's so great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you could argue like who's edgy and who's not and whatever. Brian is just pure joy to watch. He's just funny. His act is funny. The way he acts it out is funny. I love him. He's great.
Brian's physicality alone is funny.
Right.
But his material is funny. Like my test is if you can transcribe a guy's act and read it off a page and it's still funny, that's funny. You can do that with him. And then he has that strong character that he sells it with. It's like, he's the total package.
Double threat. Yeah. He's great. And when people do speak up from the audience, not necessarily heckle or whatever, he's fast on his feet too. You're right. He's the whole package. It's just so great. Here are some of my, we only have about a minute left. My honorable mentions, Bill Hicks, Mary Mack, Conrad from Wisconsin. Love her. Yeah. Albert Brooks, Gary Shandling, Dave Attell, Steve Martin, and Richard Jenny, and Seinfeld.
All good.
Yeah.
All good acts.
And of course, Mike Toomey. You would have been in my top five if it were not for that stipulation. Yeah. Mike, this was so much fun. Thank you for having me on Laugh Tracks. Folks, check out Laugh Tracks, WGN Plus. If you're listening in the Chicago area, you probably already know this, but Mike is on the WGN Morning Show and does a great job there. Hey, real quick, Mike, are you doing your Christmas show this year?
I have one of them booked at Zanies in Rosemont on December 13th.
Okay.
That's a Saturday.
But not in Kenosha?
No, we stopped doing our Wisconsin shows, at least for this year. So we'll see. You know, never say never. Might pick that back up again.
All right.
But December 13th, go to zanies.com and click on the Rosemont tab.
Outstanding. Always fun, buddy. Thanks again for asking me to be on your show.
Thank you. Of course. Thanks for doing it.
Thanks for coming on. It's good talking comedy with one of the best, Mike Toomey, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you, Mike. Bet.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Tomorrow night, I didn't even read tomorrow night's guest. Ben Reiser from UW Cinematheque and the host of the Lifers podcast will be here. We'll talk movies with Ben. He's always fun. And one of the comedy sports directors and big shots, Mike Kalth, will be here. That'll be fun as well. Go Brewers. Good luck, everybody. And thank you for all your texts. Thank you to Jamie McShane. Check out Task on HBO. He's great in it. And thank you to Mike Toomey. And on behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying good night, Wisconsin. You make a little dynamite. I'm gonna take a little gun. Everyone on our hearts tonight. Make that highway. Welcome back. Great to have you with me tonight. I am Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight coming up at 7:20. Some comedy talk with my pal Mike Toomey. We're going to break down our top five favorite comics of all time. Our question of the night is in honor of Diane Keaton's passing over the weekend. What is your favorite Diane Keaton movie? Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome to the show a good friend of mine who also just happens to be a fantastic actor, and he is one of the stars of Task on HBO, Mr. Jamie McShane. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Pete. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
I'm just I'm impressed that you want to come back after the way the last two things went. So,
well, I didn't say I wanted to come back. I just appreciate being back.
It helps to have a little dirt on you. I'm not going to lie. It's good to see you, buddy. How are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here. Thanks very much. Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm doing very well. I get to talk about things I love to talk about every night and have pals like you on the show, so it is great to have you here. Do you have, before we get into Task, do you have a favorite Diane Keaton movie?
Yeah, Heather and I were talking about it. Mrs. Sofol.
Oh, I didn't see that.
That was with Mel Gibson. It was based on a true story that she helps these two brothers escape from a prison. It was a beautiful film. I have to watch it again because it'd been a while, but I remember really loving it.
Oh, that's great. Did you see Annie Hall?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was such an iconic role for her.
Yeah, she's great. So let's jump right in. I want to say the last time you were here, or maybe it was two times ago, you were talking about this show you did, and you said it's the best show you've ever been a part of, which got me excited, A, to talk to you about it, but B, also to watch the show. I've been watching Task, and I just, it's so great. It like the first episode was great, but it builds every week, and it just gets, it's getting so intense, and there's one episode left, but how is it watching it? Like, when you said it was the best thing you've ever been a part of, and now you're getting to watch it, did that hold up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd say even more so. You know, because you read it, you film it, and then you forget things. And then there's scenes that I read, but I wasn't a part of, and you get to watch that. And I think, you know, everyone on the show is so good. I'm fortunate to be in it. And Tom Pelfrey, who plays Robbie, is just, he's just mesmerizing in the show, you know?
He's really good. Where is he from, James?
Jersey boy. He's a Jersey boy.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he He started actually in soaps years and years and years ago. And then I worked with him on Mank. He played Mank's brother, Joseph Mankiewicz, you know, Gary Oldman's brother. And then he had a big run on Ozarks.
Right.
So, yeah, he's a great guy, wonderful actor.
He, it's so great because, you know, I remember going to Pennsylvania years and years ago when I did stand up, and I love that Pennsylvania accent, and he nailed it. I thought, man, and he, you know, with the ponytail he's got, I didn't recognize him. And I'm like, this is just a guy they pulled out of a shot in a beer bar, and he can act. You know what I mean? Like, he's that much, and he's like, you going down to the park, like that Pennsylvania accent. Yeah, he's great. Obviously, Mark Ruffalo, we claim him as one of our own because he was born in Wisconsin. I think he left when he was 6 months old, but it doesn't matter, Jamie. He's a Wisconsinite.
I'll tell him that.
Martha Plimpton. And so you got a great cast. Talk about that scene last night. You play Perry, the head of the
Dark Hearts Motorcycle Club.
Dark Hearts Motorcycle Club. And you're a pretty bad guy. That's got to be so fun. But the fight last night that aired between you and Ruffalo in the cabin, how fun was that to shoot?
It was fun. We rehearsed it, and they really weighed into it. You know, Mark's a really good wrestler. He did wrestling, you know, in school when he was young. And then he did that movie Foxcatcher, where he played the wrestling coach. It was a true story about DuPont, I think. What's his name from The Office? Steve Carell was in it.
Oh, yeah.
It was a great movie. And Mark was amazing. So the stunt guy, Justin Reamer, he knew that Mark could wrestle, and it works for his character to bring in some of that, whereas I'm just a straight out brawler.
Yeah.
And then we were rehearsing on what to do and this and that. And at one point, Mark is choking me out. And I said to Mark and Justin, I said, can I bite him? And Mark's like, yeah. And Justin's like, yeah. And the director's like, yeah. So I bite him, and that just sets him off. And Mark got hurt in that scene. On one take early on, they moved some of the, I don't know, some bookshelf or something that wasn't there, or that was there, that I throw him into. And then when I threw him this second time, he expected to brace into the bookshelf or whatever it was. I don't remember. And it wasn't there, so he went further back, and he nailed his head.
Oh, man.
And he cut it open. I think he had to get stitches. I think he wound up having a concussion, but he went through the whole thing. It was great.
It's very similar to Mayor from Easttown.
Mayor of Easttown.
It's very realistic. Like, I love that, you know, Ruffalo leads this task force, Tom, and he's just a regular guy, though. He's not a superhero. Like, he kind of gets his ass kicked a couple times in the show. And then with you, finally, I'm like, all right, finally, he looks like a guy who can defend himself, at least, because you guys had this really great head-to-head. But I understand he ate a lot of Philly cheesesteaks to put on a few pounds. Like, he looks like a real guy. And this is the same guy that played Detective Fanning in Collateral, where he's kind of a badass. Like, does that elevate your game when you act opposite a guy like that? Just like I'm sure you elevate his game.
Oh, thank you. I don't know about that, but yeah, definitely. I mean, but everyone on the show, Sam Keeley, who plays Jason, you know, my kind of underling.
Yeah.
He was fantastic to work with. I mean, it was just an amazing thing to be a part of. But yes, it does elevate your game when you get to work with people that are that good, and you know they're that good. Like, you know them ahead of time.
Yeah.
Or of them.
Sure. My guest is Jamie McShane. He is one of the stars of the hit HBO show Task, and he's got many other great credits. Check out his work. If you go to IMDb, folks, you can lose yourself in Jamie's resume. He's been part of a lot of great great projects. What I always find it interesting when someone like you, who's worked so hard, and you didn't start acting till you were an adult, and then you're opposite someone like Martha Plimpton, who was kind of a younger actor. She was like a child actor. I think she was in The Goonies. Is that kind of surreal when you get to the set and you're like, oh my gosh, that's, you know, someone I watched when I was going to the cinema when I was 14, you know?
Yeah, it is, especially even, yeah, it is. And when I worked with Gary Oldman years ago, that was kind of that too, where you're like, oh my God, this is someone I've looked up to, and you're like, holy mackerel, I get to be on screen with them, you know?
Yeah.
And Martha's great. She's a hoot. And she was wonderful in Task. I think it's one of the best things I've seen her do.
Yeah, she's really good. And the writing is so good. Like, there's so many misdirects where you think you got it figured out, and then they keep you guessing. And I like that it breathes a little bit. It's not wall-to-wall action, and it's not boring. It's like the perfect, and just, Mare was like that too. It's like the perfect combination. It's just great storytelling. So for you as an actor, what was it about Perry that like just made you go, I got to play this role?
Ironically, I helped a friend of mine audition for the role of Jason the week before. And he said, you know, you'd be great for this Perry role. And I thought, all right, I don't know. We'll see, you know, see if anything happens. Then a week later, I had the audition. So I went back to my friend and he auditioned me. We just kind of turned the camera the other way. And I felt, at first, I didn't think I was big enough to play this big, you know, motorcycle dude. And then I thought, well, Gary Oldman would nail this. And Willem Dafoe would nail it. And they're, you know, they're not, Willem's a much smaller dude. But I've worked with both of them. Not that I'm at that level, but I'm like, what would they do that? And they would just sell it. They would. So for me, I thought Perry's a little, he's a little crazy and he moves kind of funny. And it really helped me develop the character. And then Sam Keeley, who plays Jason, one day I expressed to him, I don't know if I'm big enough before we shoot. And he goes, no, Jamie McShane. He goes, I am a sledgehammer. I come in, I bust everything down. You are Blade. He goes, you talk to someone, and all of a sudden they look down and their belly's cut open and they're dying. And I thought that was pretty fun.
Well, and so there's
rolled with that.
And without doing a spoiler, yeah, no, you just got to check out the show. Is he Irish?
Yeah. Yeah. He's from Tullamore, where Tullamore Dew, the whiskey's from.
Buddy, we've shared a few bottles of that. We've shared some Tullamore Dew over the years, you and I.
Yeah.
That's great. He is excellent too. I think this is the first thing I've seen him in, but do you like, Jamie, you've played all kinds of roles, but playing a role like Perry, what's that like? I mean, is it, I feel like a fanboy here, but that must have been so, it must be great to play where you get to be this total badass and maybe bring out your own badassery in doing so.
Yeah. You know, Brad Inglesby, who wrote both Mare and Task, every character he writes is so layered. They're so rich, and they, within such a limited time, you know, it's like he creates these characters like from novels, and you learn about them quickly, all of them. So to get to play one of his characters is amazing because they're so well written. And then for me, Perry especially, it was just like, it just fit, you know, and I had so much fun playing it, and it was great.
You definitely have that side to you. Just with our kids at the park, you scared me a few times. Just like. All right. Again, here's my last fanboy question, and you are my friend, but has there been any talk from the show or your reps or anything about possible Emmy nominations? I mean, it's such a hit show. You've got such a high profile on the show.
For the show itself, do you mean?
Well, or for your role as like a supporting actor.
You know, there's always hope. There has been, you know, the idea has been thrown around, but I don't know what that means exactly. It's also, you know, the Emmys aren't for another year at this point, but hopefully there's some award shows earlier on, like Critics' Choice and the Screen Actors Guild Awards and the Globes that, you know, I think the show, Tom Pelfrey, Ruffalo will definitely get some looks, and some of the other actors and actresses, and hopefully I end up in that boat.
Yeah, it's got to be tough when you have such a great ensemble. You know what I mean? Like you're just surrounded by great talent. But that's exciting. Okay. So no spoilers, the finale is this weekend, correct? Oh, did we lose Jamie? Oh, there he is. Do we have you back, buddy?
There we go. I'm back.
Cool. So, the season finale is this weekend. No spoilers or anything, but, what can you like give us a hint of what's to come, or is it, you probably can't say anything?
I'm not telling you anything.
Look, I'm trying to get people to the damn show, Jamie, to sit in front of their TV.
Watch the show, and it is it's a great show. It's the greatest thing I've ever gotten to work on, and Bloodline was pretty amazing for me, and this is the first one to surpass it. It's an incredible show, so please tune in.
And absolutely, folks, check out all six episodes. You have time before next weekend, and I would say episode 5, was that your favorite to shoot so far, without saying what happens exactly? You take a pretty dark 4, turn there.
I think 4.
Was it 4? Okay.
4, I had a lot of fun scenes and kind of revelations and it was a very layered, very, very packed episode for Perry.
Yeah.
Five was amazing also.
All right. So, but start with one, folks. The whole show is great, top to bottom. We're going to do a very short break. We'll come back. We'll have a few more minutes with our pal, Jamie McShane. I want to ask you about 1923, too, because I really enjoyed you in that, too, and another great show. But we'll be right back with the one of the stars of the hit show Task, Jamie McShane, on Nightlight with Pete Schwabo. We're coming right back. Let you know, girl, you're looking good. You're out of sight.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me. Dave on the stream says, Baby Boom. It's a great fantasy. Yeah, that's one of my wife's favorite Diane Keaton movies too, Dave. That's a good one. And PJ says, The Godfather movies. Jamie, you know, as an actor, I'm sure you'll appreciate this. I said this about Diane Keaton before. Like, I loved her in Annie Hall, but she's one of those actors that always kind of played herself a little bit or some derivation of that. But in the Godfather movies, she was so different and just sort of docile. And I thought it really showed her range kind of because it was such a different role. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but.
Yeah, I think she was so new too. I don't know what she had done before that. And she was so kind of not plain, but very, I guess docile is the right word. Just very sweet without much of an edge or not a spark, but you know, she was just kind of calmer.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, to me, it was like you saw a different side of her. She kind of became iconic playing that kind of, you know, not neurotic, but like just how her persona was. And it was very funny and entertaining, but like she obviously was just a very good actor too. So, all right, there's an old saying in show business, never open with a showstopper. And I kind of did that by talking about Task first, and now I'm going to 1923. But you were very good in that too. Your role wasn't as big, but yet another bad guy.
He was horrible.
He was a bad dude. But what was it like? Like, that was for Taylor Sheridan. You were out shooting, riding horses. What a fun role that must have been too.
No, it was a blast. I got to do a couple episodes in season one, and then he wrote a lot more for me in season two. And when you work for Taylor on the Westerns, they fly you out like a week or so, 10 days earlier, and they train you at cowboy camp. Like, they make sure you learn to ride as best you can.
Oh, wow.
And they give you like brand new pair of boots to ride in and a hat, and they suit you up. And it's a blast. I mean, it was just a blast. You wind up riding every day, usually with a bunch of other guys or girls. And it's like being a kid and getting paid for it.
Is it like the scene in Blazing Saddles where they're sitting around the fire eating beans? Is it similar to that?
Yeah, it was mostly like that. Yeah, it was mostly like that. But from the saddle itself, not sitting around. We were actually on the saddle. And it was usually when you were trotting.
Oh, very well said. Very tactful. That was great. Who are some of your favorite actors to watch? Like, you know, I know you had influences. Last time you were here, we talked about Gene Hackman and how much we both love Gene Hackman. And he passed away, ironically, just a few days later. But do you have people right now that you just like when you're flipping around the dial, it's like you can't turn that off because you're such a huge fan?
Well, Gary Oldman. I mean, it's just top notch on that. Sam Rockwell, I find very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
have you worked with him?
People. No, I never have gotten to.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy.
Yeah.
But Gary,
a bunch out there.
Gary Oldman is. Do you watch Slow Horses?
Oh yeah, I love it.
Love that show.
Yeah,
he's so great, and I, you know, he's one of those guys who's such a serious actor that I expect him to be so serious or sort of dark when he's in interviews, but he's so funny. And he's so much fun. Like, the guy has a great sense of humor, you know.
He is. And in person, he's wonderful.
Is he?
He's a hoot. Yeah. Oh, God, he's fun. He's funny. He's fun. He's so approachable. He's great. I loved working with him.
What about actresses? Is there someone out there you'd love to work with that you haven't yet, or someone you've already worked with that you just think the world of?
I worked with Holly Hunter a little bit. I thought the world of her. Viola Davis, Viola Davis was wonderful. I got to work with her. Yeah, I mean, I think the list is too long to say who I would love to work with, but there's a lot of them.
What about a role? What about a role? Like, you're so good at doing the bad guy, James, but like, you know, is there a role that you want to, would you like to play the hero or the savior somehow, or like a cop or a someone who's going through a trans issue, like some crazy role that, you know, is, really pushes you? Is there some role out there like that that's evaded you or that you've
probably? I'm waiting for you to write it.
Conrad, take a memo.
I would love to. I would love to. Yeah, I'd love to play all those things. Cops, I've played a lot of cops.
Yeah.
You know, different dirty cop or clean cop. I played on Southland, one of the few shows in a while where I played a really good guy, you know, and that was a blast on that show. I loved it. Another great show.
That was, I can't remember who we had on. It might've been Glenn Morshower who said, or it was someone that said the Southland was the most authentic cop show they had ever seen. And I still haven't even seen it. So I got to, check it out.
It's great.
Well, thanks again, buddy. Before I let you go, I got to ask you, are you binge watching anything that doesn't have Jamie McShane in it or something that does? What could you recommend?
Well, we started the Ed Gein thing with Charlie Hunnam.
Oh, yeah.
So we've been watching that. And then I think that's the latest one, because I was back in Jersey for a while for some family stuff. And my mother has very limited television. So Heather waits for me to get back to binge stuff together.
She doesn't Netflix cheat. That's a big thing. Like, it's hard to wait for your partner to actually watch the shows and not go ahead.
She'll watch stuff she knows I don't want to watch.
All right, that's good.
So, it's fair enough.
You worked with him, too, on Sons of Anarchy, which must have been cool, with Charlie Hunnam.
Charlie, he's a sweetheart. He's great. He's a wonderful guy. Very, very gentle person, despite the badass he plays, and very kind. Very kind.
Well, dude, you keep somehow ending up in these shows surrounded by great actors. And I think a lot of that you could attribute to yourself as well. You're in these great circles and likeness attracts. So keep up the great work. We're watching, and I everything you do, I just love.
Pete, I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me back. And I do love coming on your show here.
Thank you, buddy. Despite not liking me personally, I appreciate you coming on.
No, that has nothing to do with it. The show is wonderful.
Okay.
I mean, I'm so surprised you're actually the host.
Hey, don't say, Conrad, cut that out of the podcast.
Buddy, right. I love you. You're a dear friend.
You too. Love you too, buddy. Talk to you soon.
See you.
Jamie McShane, ladies and gentlemen. Check out Task. It is really a good show. And if you liked Mayor of Easttown, you'll love this. This surpassed Mayor of Easttown, and I love that. But Task just keeps getting better every week. Check it out, folks. We are coming right back for Act Two. After the news, it's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.